Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
All right. Welcome to the Sovereign Soul Human Design Podcast. And today we have a very special guest. Michelle Bursell is the founder of the International Institute for Emotional Empowerment and creator of the Emotional Empowerment Process. She believes that emotional empowerment is the next generation of emotional intelligence that guides individuals to use negative feelings as a tool for professional and personal growth. Through the International Institute for Emotional Empowerment, Michelle has trained people from all over the world, including China, Denmark, Iceland, Canada, throughout the United States in emotional empowerment. Her work has been featured on CBS, NBC, and Fox affiliates, as well as in the Washington Post, PBS.org, The Huffington Post, Parents Magazine, and more. So welcome, Michelle. I'm so excited to have you here and talk. This is a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and I'm so excited to dive into this with you.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be with you and to have this conversation.
So before we get started and we dive into all things emotional empowerment, tell me a little bit about yourself. Anything you would like to share with our audience to let them get to know you a little bit before we get started into what led you into creating this amazing business?
Thank you. Yeah, so I am a mom, a wife, but what I would always say I have been from the get-go is an emotionally sensitive person. Some people describe that as a highly sensitive person, HSP. And so what this basically means is that I have always been a person that has felt a lot, and it was very difficult for me to know how to work with that, because when I grew up in a generation where it was like, you do not show your feelings, you show you're tough and that you can handle things. And I did my best to manipulate myself to be that. But of course my feelings would come through. And so it was really actually by happen chance that I ultimately went into clinical psychology. I was a high school teacher in the inner city of Chicago for many years, getting my master's degree in education, and I was speaking to my professor and I was sharing with him how I really enjoyed working with these kids more from a state of how to support the kids that felt stuck from some of the things that they were dealing with in the inner city, from their friends having children young, from their parents being on drugs, like you name it. It was pretty rough for these students because so many were in poverty. And how I enjoy being with them and talking them through like how to work out what their struggles were. And so I ended up doing my master's in education, a thesis about how educators really need to step into this role as a mentor. And anyways, long story long, it led me, he's like, why don't you consider going to get your doctorate in clinical psychology? And I was the first in my family to finish a four-year degree. So this notion of like getting a doctorate just seemed you know, unheard of. But I was really passionate about how to understand our emotions better, really based on my own need to do that for myself.
That is so amazing. And I love, and I dove into your human design chart before this, and it all falls in line, which is super, which was really beautiful. So I have some questions. When did you figure out that you were a highly sensitive person, and how did you figure that out? How did you come to that realization and have that awareness?
Oh, that's a good question. I got to think about that, because looking back, I can always see that I was highly sensitive. But when did I come to that terminology? I feel like HSPs were starting to get talked about probably in the 90s, right around when I was also earning my degree in clinical psychology. So I went a traditional route, but there were things about traditional psychology that was not working for me as a highly sensitive person, because what... And again, back in my day, I think this has changed, but back in my day, we were trained to be a psychotherapist, that you would be someone's counselor, a person that they go to for life. And I thought that was weird and not empowering whatsoever. And so while I was getting my degree in clinical psychology, I was seeing a spiritual and life coach. And this was something that was not heard of back in the 90s. Like, people were like, a coach, like they literally just thought sports. But I started doing this simultaneously with my degree, which is why when I graduated, I actually did not do a traditional psychotherapy practice. I went right into a coaching model that integrated what I learned in life coaching with psychology, to give people the tools so they don't have to see a therapist for life. So
you're a trailblazer, because you're right. I don't remember back in the 90s. I just remember hearing more about psychology, and, you know, I don't remember anybody really talking a lot about spirituality or a life coach, like you said. So that's, you're a trailblazer. That's really amazing. And I love that, you found it and felt into your body. You knew that something was right about it and just went for it. And that's so amazing. And so how did all of that evolve then? Because it sounds like you were really following your intuition and following the breadcrumbs and doing one thing at a time. And so how did it all evolve into this business that you have today? Because when I met you, I think you were a coach, right?
Right.
And so within that 5 years, it evolved into this big company. How did you do that? And what steps did you take?
Well, it really started with the basis of psychology, where I had to work through my shame. I had to find my voice again. I had to find my truth again. So that's why in so much of the coaching world, there are so many elements that help you with mindset. Again, being an emotionally sensitive person, I had to get into the emotional elements. And what I found was that my training was good at giving me tools to deal with my feelings, to get rid of them, but being highly sensitive, they kept coming back. And so I was like, I really need to find a way on how to do this differently. Because so I started off, I had a practice, I considered myself a life coach, integrating these psychological aspects. But the truth was, I at that time was still struggling with my negative feelings. And I was struggling to get my business started. And I basically had the classic meltdown, where I was just like, I've got like one or two clients, I'm not thriving, I feel like a fraud, because I'm telling people what to do with their emotions, but I feel, you know, emotionally weighed down, I feel sad, depressed, anxious, you name it. And so I had this big like dark night of the soul, where I'm like, I am not doing this. I feel like a fraud. I am not putting myself out there. telling people I can help them with their emotions when all I'm doing is giving them these tools that, yeah, okay, it helps you get rid of your negative feelings, but you feel like you're chasing your tail if you're emotionally sensitive. So this is when the interesting thing happened. What I'll say is it sounds like it's really like, you know, crazy, but I'll explain how this is actually a natural aspect to how I think we all function. Mm-hmm. I started getting woken up at 4:30 in the morning with this voice telling me to get out of bed and go to my computer and write. Now, at the time I had three children. My twins were the youngest and they weren't even one. And I, like a month before, I just got them sleeping through the night. So all I was, I heard this voice and I'm like, are you kidding me? I just want to sleep. I want to sleep for more than 4 hours in a row. But this voice kept blah, blah, blah. And might get up, go to your computer and write. Now, the reason why people are like, that's so crazy or that's amazing or whatever. I think we all have that voice that says, like, you didn't call your mom and it was her birthday, or you should lock your door or something like that. So it's the same voice, but this one was just very persistent. And for 9 months straight, it would at 4:30, like an alarm, it would wake me up. My kids were young. I would work from like 4:30 a.m. to like 5:36 until they woke up. And what came through during that time was how my approach to emotions, especially being sensitive, is all wrong and I need to learn how to receive them. And I did not think this was accurate. I was like, what is coming out of me? Why am I writing this? The thing that made me a believer was there was a day where I was writing about anxiety and how anxiety is actually here to teach us how to find inner peace. And that morning in particular, I woke up anxious, kind of for no reason, just kind of woke up with some anxiety. And I went through the process of what was coming through when I was writing, and it worked. And I felt more at peace. And I was like, whoa, okay. And so 9 months later, I had no idea, but that was my first book. I wrote a book on this process. And then I started using it with other clients. That's when I went into the coaching business end of things. Clients and then other therapists started saying to me, I would like to teach people this empowered approach to emotions. Because even therapists, again, they were like, I have my own anxiety. And then I get patients coming to me with their anxiety and they make me feel anxious and I don't know how to help them. So I started working with people all around the world who wanted this type of training. And now it has led to working with corporations. So in 2019, I started going to corporations saying, guys, we've got a problem here. This is not looking good for how employees are. And they're like, yeah, Michelle, we cover mental health a half hour each year. And I'm like, that's not going to do it. And then the pandemic happened. And then they started calling back and they said, wait a minute, I think we need to know a little bit more about what you do. So it's exciting in terms of where we have come from, I think, as a society where we've really, you know, again, back how I grew up, like be strong, don't show emotion, to gaining some awareness. Emotional intelligence was very helpful with like saying, hey, your emotions are going to impact your career, your ability to create wealth, your relationships, all that, to now where I think people are really making their mental and emotional health a priority, which is amazing to see.
It is so important. I couldn't agree more with you on all of that. Because our emotions, our emotions kind of lead the one thing that I've noticed on my healing journey is that the more I unwind the energetic knots, that's what I call it. The more that I unwind the energetic knots and get more and more into alignment with myself and learn to trust myself more, the more emotionally regulated I am, the more regulated my nervous system is, and the less negative talk coming through for me naturally. That's how my journey has kind of been, because I came from a place I was, you know, fell into depression and lived with anxiety from childhood into adulthood, fell into depression later in life. And yeah, just working to come out of that you know, and I know that there was so much negative talk throughout my entire life and this just holding on so tight. And then as I unwound, I tried affirmations at first, and affirmations just didn't work for me. You know, as you know, that's not getting to the unconscious, right? And yeah. So as I unwound, I'm like, oh, wow, my thoughts are changing. My thoughts are more positive. I just feel more confident. Everything just kind of flows as you come into that emotional intelligence, and it's really beautiful.
Yes.
So it's really important work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And I love that. So there's a couple of questions that I have. First, you had mentioned that you were experiencing feelings of depression and anxiety. What did that look like for you, and how did you move through that? It sounds like you moved through it out of a lot of curiosity and allowing.
Oh, no.
How did you move through that?
All right. Which round are we talking about? Round one is like, you know, teenage, early 20s. I drank my way through it, you know, I was totally insecure, drink any of my insecurities. So that was the beginning though of the curiosity, right? It was just like, this is not working. I was hitting a wall. Always had an interest in psychology. So then I was getting my degree in clinical psychology, and that was a launching pad to really start looking at some of my own patterns that were causing so much pain. So it really depends. There's like an unconscious way that I think we handle these things as best that we can. I did later in my 40s go through a period of depression that was much different. It was much more conscious because I had the tools, but it was still incredibly painful. But I knew that this was about an invisible, to the outside world, an invisible growth that took me to my knees, but was important for my next level of where I was meant to take my work. And so from that, even though it was very, very painful, and I stopped, thankfully I've not had a drinking problem, but I completely stopped drinking. I stopped all the coping mechanisms because I knew it was so important for me to be conscious with all of it, because it's in that depth of that pain that we discover ourselves. And it is not easy. This is the heroine's journey. This is the hero's journey of going to the depths, rather than we always think, I think of the hero going out there and conquering out in the world. This is the inner work that allows us to then come back to ourselves with greater peace and grace and love and all those things that I think allow us to show up in our lives powerfully, but with also greater ease.
I love the way you articulated all of that. The same, that dark night of the soul, you know, and I love the way you articulated that. It sounds, because it isn't easy, and it's very painful, and it's also very beautiful on the other side.
It can be, yes, especially on the other side.
Yeah. Even while you're in it sometimes, you have little glitters of light, and you can see the gift. And if you just keep hanging on and you keep moving through, it sure is beautiful on the other side. But I love the way you articulated that so beautifully. Thank you. That's really amazing. So I want to talk about emotions, because and also for sort of selfish reasons too, I'm also a highly sensitive person. And can you give us some tips on how to receive, I think you use the words receive emotions and work with emotions. How can you give us some tips on how to do that?
Absolutely. So I think the big thing is that we went through a period where people were like, be positive, no bad vibes. And I was just kind of cringing because I'm like, that is not healthy for us, because it's really understanding that being highly sensitive, your emotional sensitivity is such an immense gift when you know how to work with your negative feelings. And so we want to move past this idea of like, I'm just going to sit with my emotions for 90 seconds and then they go away. It's okay if you're like so emotionally overwhelmed to do that. But ultimately, we want to befriend these emotions and understand that they are here to guide us. And there is a reason why we experience different emotions. One of my examples is that someone could witness a car accident or something bad, and one person, it'll make them feel anxious, and another one angry, and another one feel guilt. And the reason why each person is having a different emotional experience is because that specific emotion is signaling to them something that's important for them and their growth. So if we just remain in positive vibes only, or, you know, sit with the emotion and hope it goes away and we can feel better again, we're missing out on the opportunity of growth. And that is ultimately what our negative feelings are here to do. They're here to help us make our lives easier. And so as emotionally sensitive people, I think there's something very validating that says, actually, everything that you've been feeling is spot on. It's just going to be a difference if you have internalized that negative emotion from a disempowered lens versus an empowered lens. So these knots that you were talking about, I love that. I wrote that down, energetic knots that you were unwinding, was likely the disempowered voice. And it's understanding that with each negative emotion, there is just like a coin, there's a flip side to it with an empowered voice. And we can learn and train ourselves to understand the empowered message coming through that's there to actually support us to unwind those energetic knots, to help us rewire our brain to work for us and work so that we are emotionally growing.
I love that. So what does it feel like in your body? So as people are shifting, for our audience, as people are shifting from one state to, can I say one state to the next? Is that a good use of language? Shifting emotionally, I'll say that, as one is shifting emotionally and working through all of this and learning to receive their emotions, what does it feel like in your body to feel empowered?
Oh gosh, freeing. I mean, different from being, you know, that weighed down feeling, that on edge feeling, the sense I've done something wrong, all of that, you're getting to the core of why that, understanding why that has shown up for you and why it's incorrect. And it's not just telling yourself this, because that is just getting to the conscious mind. We have to work with our emotions by emotionally processing them, which gets to the subconscious. That's where we want to rewire. That's why you were saying, yeah, affirmations didn't really work for me. Well, I mean, they can be helpful, but it's like, if we want to get to the depth of what's really going on, we want to learn to process what these feelings are saying in a way that makes sense to our rational mind, but that clears us emotionally. So what we do when I take people through the emotional empowerment model is support them to see, to give them experiences of processing their emotions. And then how does that feel? How does the intensity lessen so that they can start to demonstrate to their ego, their inner critic, that the lies that their ego has been telling them, the fears, are incorrect. And they start to feel that less intensity. So for each person, it can show up different in their body. It can show up in their heart, a tightness in their heart or their heart racing. People get knots in their stomach. It really depends on the individual. But what you're going to experience as you release this is just more and more lightness. And I would say my ultimate favorite place to get people is when you see the ego trying to mess with you, trying to put you back into like the shame, and you actually laugh at it. It's like you genuinely laugh, like something that would have made you sad and took you down before. you laugh because it's like, I see what you're trying to do. Oh, you are so good. You are so clever, but I don't need that anymore. Thank you. And it's like, on some level, it's just kind of funny. And so that's where we want to get people to, is that place where it's just that freed up. And so we work with people, you know, whether they're taking medication to support them, whether wherever they're at on their journey, whether they've had a hard time even acknowledging that they have negative feelings, we can take them through a process. And I think what is exciting, and while we're not opposed to psychotropic drugs, we've had a lot of people who've been told you will be on these drugs for life, and they no longer are, because it's about receiving and learning to work with their negative feelings. And once they did, they're not fighting themselves anymore. They're receiving themselves.
Oh my gosh, I love all of this so much. So for people who can't work with you directly, or can you give us the name of your book, number one? And then number two, would it be helpful for people? Because I often give people the advice of keeping track of things throughout the day, like keeping track of when feelings come up, feel it. Where is it in your body? Write it down. And then write down where you are, what you're doing, what's in the environment, who are you with, keep track of things like that. And then you can look back and you can see patterns, whether the feeling is negative or positive. Because we often don't pay it when we're happy, we don't pay attention, right? Because we're happy, and we don't pay attention to why we're happy. And so I often tell people, keep track, and then you can look through the patterns. Is that something you would say to people too? Or do you want to add to that?
I love that. I think that's a great place for people to begin if they are not aware of what they're feeling, or if they have this mentality that they're always depressed, that they're always anxious. That's a great way, Tina, to break that belief system, because you're like, actually, like we were saying, even in those moments when we were brought to our knees, there was a glimmer of light, like it's still there. So the more we can do that, the better, you know, that's great. Where we want to invite people who are ready, who want this, is to really shift from learning to manage their emotions, which is a lot what emotional intelligence has supported people with. Like, how do we, you know, get these emotions back in control and, you know, manage our stress, which is great. But what we see on our side of things is that people are still carrying the emotional weight a lot. And so we want to help them process the feelings, because in processing and especially on an emotional level, because some people are like, I go for a run and I process the feeling. It's like, well, you let go of some of the energetic intensity, but the emotion itself, you probably have no idea why it came through, and more importantly, how it's guiding you to grow. Now, sometimes we do get those indicators. Sometimes in part of our stress management, we go out and garden and we gain some insight, like, whoa, I was really being reactionary there and I should have applied like this. But what we're teaching with emotional empowerment is that each of your negative feelings have specific signals. We can teach you what those signals are, what your emotions are trying to tell you, and then give you guidance on what behaviors and thoughts are going to increase that emotion that you don't want to be experiencing, and what thoughts and behaviors you can engage in that will decrease that emotion and help you start to really feel more empowered, more of those feelings that allow you to grow. So I think anything that we're doing to pay attention to emotions at any stage is courageous and powerful. I think it's just where someone is at personally and where they, how much they want to dig in.
That's amazing. I love all that. I could talk to you for hours about all of this stuff. What is the name of your book?
So the name of my book is called Feel, and it's an acronym for Feel Every Emotion as Love. So, and it's Feel, turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies.
Can we find it on Anywhere books are sold, Amazon, anything? Okay.
Barnes awesome. And Noble. Yeah.
Okay. And then I have one more question for you, but before we get to that, where can people find you? Where's your website and socials?
Yes. So my website is IIEE.training. So that stands for International Institute for Emotional Empowerment. So IIEE.training. And you can find out about me and the work that I'm doing for individuals. There's a personal growth path that you can take, as well as for corporations who want to bring this to their employees.
Awesome. Thank you. And then do you have anything you want to add or share before we sign off? Get hit on?
I think we did great. I just want to reiterate that your negative feelings have a purpose. They're not just here to rain on your parade. They're here to come forward to support you, that they're signaling to you first and foremost that your disempowered reactions are not working for you. They kind of help us get out of autopilot so that we can respond from a place of power. And they're going to let you know, like, what is it exactly that you need to be working on? Is it self-trust, or is it using your voice, or is it challenging your ego? They're there to give you specific guidance on how to grow. And that's how we build self-trust, self-confidence. It's the antidote to a lot of the stuff that people are getting stuck in that really comes down to self-hatred. And so this is about creating, your emotions are here to help you create a life that works for you, that lights you up, that fulfills you. And I think most importantly is that your feelings want you to know that you deserve that life. And so they'll keep kind of bothering you until you're willing to listen.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. Just in that reframing feels so empowering. And it feels like just thinking about negative emotions that way, it makes me feel like I love my negative emotions, you know, and I can work with them from a very loving, compassionate way for myself, which is very empowering in itself. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was beautiful, Michelle. Thanks.
My pleasure. From one highly sensitive person to another, my pleasure. I get it.